Hello. All right. Hi. How you doing? My name is Jeremy Andrasik. I'm a service manager on the Azure infrastructure team. I help support the Azure CDN. So I'm here to talk about using the Windows Azure CDN. So just to kind of recap the agenda, we're going to talk about why you'd want to use the CDN, talk about the CDN today, talk about some features that are coming up, some features that have just been implemented, and kind of walk through a quick demo. And then also ask your feedback about things we're doing good, things we're doing, things that we should change. Also, please feel free to ask questions throughout. I've also brought a bunch of cards, so if there's something I can't answer, or if you want something researched, feel free to come up and grab a card or hand me your card, and I can do that for you. And again, we'll have a question and answer session at the end as well. Just to kind of kick it off a little bit, I'm going to talk about how the CDN is easy to use. Let me just pull up and do a quick demonstration. And you can use the CDN using Azure Storage as an origin or a web role as origin. And I'm just going to actually pull a piece of content into Azure Storage. And then so I just dumped it into storage right now, and then I'm going to and basically pulled it through. So I'm going to come back to this, you know, again and again during the presentation, that the Azure CDN is fairly easy to use. It's a straightforward service, straightforward configurations, and it's straightforward to use. And just wanted to demonstrate, it in a nutshell. Drop some content into Azure Storage, and then you can be delivering from all of our nodes worldwide. And then just to see where this is actually delivering from. So this will most likely come from one of our nodes in, this is in the San Jose area. So this was delivered from the Bay Area to here, and that's because that's where Microsoft is paired with this particular ISP. So just to start it off, and we'll go back into the presentation now. All right. So why use a CDN? I would say that most sites should be using a CDN, and they would receive benefit from that. And the reasons why, the CDN is low cost. There's no additional uptake in terms of the egress charges that you'd actually be paying if you're just delivering something out of storage. So it's low complexity, as the last quick demo was meant to show. You can dump something into Azure Storage, and then you're delivering just a few seconds later from the CDN. So instead of delivering from one location, one Azure location, or two Azure locations, if you're, two or three if you're using a GTM, you're actually delivering from all the different Azure CDN points of presence. And I think we're up to 24 points of presence. So just by enabling the CDN, you're going to get a significant performance uptake. So why not use the CDN? All right, so we'll talk a little bit about the Windows Azure CDN right now. So right now, the Windows Azure CDN has actually been in existence for 3+ years at this time. And it was the Microsoft CDN, so a lot of Microsoft properties have been using it. So if you use things like Patch Tuesday, Zune Video, Hotmail, Bing Maps, these have all been using the Windows Azure CDN for several years. So even though Windows Azure CDN has only been available through the Azure Dev Portal for a year, it's actually been around Microsoft for quite a bit longer. Just with the Microsoft traffic, we're probably the third or fourth largest CDN in the world, not even considering all of our partners' traffic right now. So Microsoft has a lot of content and content delivery needs, and then we've actually exposed that through the actual Azure Dev Portal, so you guys can take advantage of the work and the peering and the different data center deployments that we have going around the world. All right, so the Azure CDN is a core component of Azure. who's here is using Azure? Is everybody? Your crowd? Okay. Who's here actually using the CDN or has played around with it? So less. Okay. Well, hopefully after this, everybody will quickly throw up a test account. So I said, the Azure CDN is a core component of Windows Azure. It actually rides upon either Azure Storage or a compute role, so a web role or a worker role. So the Azure CDN is made up, as I mentioned before, a collection of nodes around the world. And the CDN actually uses Anycast, so the end users are actually routed to the closest node to them. So for example, if you have somebody in London and they're requesting content, they're going to get the content from our node in London. Somebody's requesting that same content from Tokyo, they're going to be getting it from our node in Tokyo. So basically, you're getting an end user to the closest network point for Azure and knocking out a lot of that network latency. And these are our actual nodes around the world. As I mentioned, we have 24 nodes, and I can go through these if anybody has specific questions. But lots of coverage in North America, EMEA, and Asia, and we're starting to grow in South America as well. So we actually have multiple three plus terabits per second capacities at the moment, and right now we're anywhere from a normal day two to 400 gigabits per second, and during things like patch Tuesday, it can scale up to several hundreds, 700, 800 gigabits per second. So there's lots of headroom to grow, and we're continuing to grow and add capacity all around the world. And I'm sorry, I was supposed to announce earlier. If you could fill out the evaluation forms and hand them to the gentleman in the red on the way out. I guess there's been, or there's a box outside as well. All right, so CDN is used for static content. So if you're going to be delivering images, videos, things that are going to be CSS files, JS files, things that are going to be the same for all your different end users. The CDN actually provides you spike capacity because it is massively distributed, and we do groom your CDN accounts over time, so to right size it and make sure that we have enough servers that are actually serving your content. So everything is similar to everything else in Windows Azure. The CDN is pay as you go, so there's no long term contracts or anything like that you have to actually sign. If you want to play with it and test it out, turn it on and then turn it off. And then turn it back on later. You can do that, and you just build for actual egress. So as I kind of alluded to on the last slide, the CDN allows you to handle burst traffic. As it is, you're not going to be delivering from one location. You're going to be delivering from all of our different locations around the world. We have a lot of capacity. So if you have a breaking news story. The CDN actually will help you shield you from having to spin up a lot of extra VMs for something like that. So if you have a lot of static content, you want to offload as much as possible into the CDN and take advantage of the CDN scale. And again, as you are delivering from all of the locations around the world, as opposed to a few of the Azure data centers, your performance for anything that's actually cached will increase significantly. All right, so we'll talk about some of the new things. So these are our newish points of presence. Seoul, Taipei, and Moscow. Qatar, our location in Qatar, was the most recently added point of presence. And right now we're also working on deploying a node in Mexico City, and also we're working with a provider in the United Arab Emirates, so that's a little further out, but that will be our next node after Mexico City. Mexico City should be coming up probably around the July timeframe. Give or take, sometimes some of the data center deployments take a little longer than anticipated, but should be about July. And I have the full list of nodes below, and it's the same as the graphic that I had previously showed. All right, so there was a couple of features that were actually released in the March Azure update. And we have just recently enabled SSL, HTTPS delivery. And also the ability to actually use the web role as an origin. Previous up to that point in time, it was just Azure Storage. So they actually, HTTPS is, you can actually just, it's just a button to click, so there's no additional configuration work that you have to worry about, key management or anything like that. It's just a push button, and you know, you can actually add SSL delivery with a minimum of work. So I guess I'll pause there for a second. Are there any questions or anything unclear or anything you want me to clarify? So the question was, what does a node consist of? So basically, the CDN is just a collection of servers that we actually have deployed in a data center. So we have two different classes of servers. So we have what we call edge servers, which actually deliver the content. And then behind that, we actually have another layer called what we call parent caches, which basically is another layer that sits in between the origin, which would be sitting in an Azure data center. So basically, the edge servers are a little bit smaller, and then the parent caches have larger disks. So they're but just two basic commodity servers. And then the more important thing is the actual peering. So you know, when we put in a new node, we'll come up with a few peers, and then we'll always be adding peers and rearranging. So it's just servers from a few dozen to several hundred, depending on the actual size of the node and how much and how many different ISPs that we're peered with there. And we generally grow those and add additional server deployments, but small data center for us. Yep.
Can you guys compare to, say, like Akamai, Limelight, in terms of CDN capacity?
In terms of capacity?
So
we actually collect performance metrics and compare ourselves to all the different external CDNs. And we find that we're comparable, a little better, a little worse than all of those. And depending on the file size, we tend to be a little bit better on smaller files. I would say that, again, recommend that you see for yourself in Gomez or Keynote. But we tend to do pretty well against all the different CDNs, but comparable and in their neighborhood. All right, as I mentioned before, the CDN is actually easy to configure. It's basically, I would say, two clicks or two or three clicks. Actually, on the new CDN tab, you'd actually just hit the new endpoint button, and then basically you'll get an option to basically determine what your origin is going to be. And in the content provider there, it's actually going to, and the source URL below is actually going to pull up your all your different storage accounts. So if you have four or five storage accounts, all those will be available in the dropdown. If you have any hosted services that you want to actually use as a CDN, they'll also show up there in that dropdown. So click once to enable, select what you want your origin to be. And then there's a couple different options that you can actually select. As I mentioned, the storage account, the content provider is your storage account or your web role. You can click to enable SSL, and you can also include query string arguments in the cache key or not. You can basically include everything past the question mark in the cache key or ignore everything afterwards. And why that's important is basically you want to determine if the actual query string argument actually determines what object it is. So if you're tracking things like your generation or version of your object, you want to include that. If you're not specifically doing that, if the query string argument doesn't specifically identify an object, we generally recommend that you don't include query string arguments. Because if you're not using it, you can end up having the same object in cache multiple times, the same actual object but with different names. So you're going to end up lowering your cache hit ratio. So unless you technically need it, we wouldn't recommend that you turn it on. But it is there. Yep. Yeah, right now we can only have an origin that's actually in Azure. So it's an Azure storage account or an Azure web hosted service. So we can't actually point to servers that are outside of Azure. But the concept is exactly right. The content is stored in either your Azure storage account or your Azure VM role, and then we basically, if somebody requests it, it comes into the Edge, and then we'll say, the Edge server will say, do I have it in cache? If they have it, they'll deliver it to them. If not, it'll go to the parent cache. If not, go back to the origin and pull it, and then the next time somebody asks in that region, they'll be delivered from that node. Yeah, from the actual what I did to start off the presentation, if you're actually using Azure Storage, you can actually write to Azure Storage your new content with a blob manager or the storage API. So you just basically write the new content in there. If it's a new file, a completely new object, you're good to go. If you're actually updating an object that exists but not changing the name. Basically, your end users wouldn't see anything until your TTL expired. So if you have something that actually changes quite frequently, you might want to set a lower TTL. But if you have an object that you don't expect to change, you'd want to set a higher TTL.
Yes, but I can circumvent that by having this kind of query string, like looking.
Yeah, so if you were using a query string argument to actually identify version 1, version 2, that would actually be a different file name, and you would be all set. Your new file. And we would consider it a best practice also to, or if it's possible, to actually have a brand new file name, because we will honor the TTL, but there's a lot of downstream proxies and caches that we can't guarantee that everybody will see that. So if you want everybody to see it at one time, it's best to change the file name. It's the most control. Yes? Yeah, right now you'd have to open up a support ticket. We actually have a purge API that we'll be releasing shortly. Then you'll actually be able to do that in a programmatic manner. But that's actually not currently exposed in the portal. But if you had a mistake, you could call somebody up and we could take care of it for you. Obviously not as quick as if you could do it yourself, but it is on the roadmap and it should be here relatively soon. But I don't have a specific date. Another thing you can actually do is actually, when you actually say enable CDN, you get an actual Azure CDN host name for delivery. It basically follows the format AZ and then a bunch of numbers .vomsecnd.net. You can actually utilize that for HTTP delivery. And then you can also add a branded domain name for delivery. So you'd hit add a new domain. And then you'll be asked to verify that you actually own that domain. So it'll ask you to actually add a record inside of a DNS record. And once you actually verify that you can do that and that you actually own the domain, the CDN would then accept the new host header that you specify. So it's great if you want to better brand your URLs. And this is right now is only available for HTTP. We don't actually have the infrastructure in place to take your guys' private certs. So for SSL, you can actually, one of the reasons SSL is quick to configure is because you actually have to use our host name. So we don't actually have the capability to take in one of your guys' keys right now. So you'd have to use our key for SSL. So the custom domains is only for HTTP.
Is that on the
roadmap? It's being discussed. It's definitely something that's doable, but to actually add the infrastructure, secure way to transport the keys, something that's auditable, if something goes wrong and we have to yank a cert. It's a lot to do more on the operational side, so it's something that's discussed, but I don't have a committed date or know for sure that we will do it. Okay, so pricing is pay as you go, as I mentioned before. In the U.S. and EMEA-based nodes, it's 15 cents per gigabyte delivered. And in the rest of the world, so our nodes in Asia and in South America, it's 20 cents per gigabyte delivered. If you use existing CDNs or some of the other CDNs that are out there, many of them actually bill a 95.5 network peak utilization. So this is a slightly different model. So this is actually gigabytes that you delivered. We actually also have a transaction fee of 1 cent per 10,000 transactions. And then in addition to the CDN, you'd be also paying for your storage fees or your the VM rental fees for the actual VMs if your VM was Azure was the origin. Yeah, a request, an HTTP request. One question that I get quite a bit is that basically Azure Storage also has a transaction fee cost, and people are worried that it's double counting and that it'll be a significant price driver. And I just put this slide together to basically kind of go through that. And in general, that transaction fee is not really a significant price driver for us. It's one of the reasons that we added it there is just to make sure that people, we're caching certain things. We're caching everything instead of like having stuff that's private and everything going back to origin. But in general, the transaction fee is a very small component of your actual bill. It's 90. It's mostly egress. So this solution here is actually delivering from the CDN or delivering via storage. And again, the egress costs are the same between the CDN and storage. So there's no difference. There's no price uptake. And if you're delivering out of storage, you're delivering from one location. And again, if you're delivering from CDN, you're actually delivering from all those different locations, that we had on a few slides back. So in this right here, with 500 requests delivering, 5,000 gigabytes of traffic, the difference between delivering from the CDN and storage is, is 5 cents. You can actually adjust this up depending on what the cache hit ratio is, the number of transactions. But just as a general illustration, the transaction fee is not a significant cost driver. And it's you're not going to be like double billed and so basically it's very similar cost to deliver from the CDN as delivering from Azure Storage. Any questions on that? Is that clear or? Clear as mud. Okay. Okay, we have a few. These are the next things that we're actually working on. We actually talked about the Purge API a little while ago. We just had an announcement with Signiant. I'm not sure if you're familiar with them, but they do file transfers and workflows and things. They're actually, we've been working with them for a while to actually deliver content into Azure Storage. A lot of our large CDN partners that deliver have huge libraries actually utilize them. So we're actually they've actually wrote a connector for Azure Storage, and then we're working with them right now. CTP should be in the next month or two. We're actually internally launched it with Xbox, and we'll be working through and hoping a more general CTP in the next month or two. The Purge API we mentioned. The other actual item that was released was actually adaptive bitrate streaming using the Azure CDN. Up until this point in time, you actually couldn't use the Azure CDN to stream Silverlight Smooth Streaming. And basically, the Azure Storage is not an IaaS-based origin. It's a storage platform. So we actually have developed the code to actually allow you to actually utilize Azure Storage as origin, and basically all you need to do is upload the content from Expression Encoder into Azure Storage and click the Enable CDN, and then you could actually deliver the adaptive bitrate streaming. This is actually in internal CTP right now, so we're actually working through it with internal Microsoft properties to make sure that once we enter in general CTP that you have the best experience possible. But it's an internal CTP right now. And hopefully in the May, the June timeframe, it would be an external CTP available for everybody. Okay, and this is what I just mentioned. But I actually do have something running right now. I can show you. So this is actually running up in. This is an adaptive bitrate stream that's actually up in Azure Storage right now and coming through the CDN. But in general, it's just there's no additional development required. Once you encode the content, you can upload it, and you're just downloading what you are any other video from the Azure CDN standpoint. Well, it's a video. I won't subject you to the rest of it. But in general, that's all I actually have in terms of the presentation. I can actually go through and walk through and provision an account and kind of go through that process, what we actually showed in the actual slide deck. But I'll pause again for any questions if there's anything that I didn't cover or you have questions about. Yep. 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 It is an on-demand fill. It's a poll base. So basically, I'm sorry. Did you ask if it's for expirations or invalidations?
No, I don't know about that. Just how does it fill up?
So it is poll based. So if somebody doesn't request content in a particular region, it may never go into that node. So basically, it is 100% poll-based. We don't have any replication or anything like that pushes content out.
But basically, we never had seen an example of this yet, the point of that web role, but you can replace all the requests that go to that web role are going to come through the CDN.
No, not everything. You're still going to get a new host name, so you can actually have certain things that are being delivered off of your web role's DNS name. And then you could just be changing some of the URLs and delivering certain content. Basically, right now, version one is anything in a folder called CDN, and that will actually be loosened up in the future. But you'll still have some things that will actually be dynamic, and then you would actually have some things that would be static, and you have the separate DNS names for that. Yep. For Azure Storage, I don't know that's on the roadmap or it's been discussed, but you could actually do that for the web role. You have an IIS based origin, so you could actually deliver the site that way.
But then I'm paying 12 cents an hour versus 15 cents per gig per month. So if I wanted a static website and I wanted it to be really cheap, I could do it in Azure Storage, except for the fact that I don't get a default document.
Yeah, I don't know. If you want to leave a card, I can actually look that up and ask if it's been requested. I don't know that it's on the roadmap, but I can find out for you. Okay, I'll just kind of go through the process to actually configure a CDN account here. So actually, if I go into the storage accounts tab, you can actually see that I actually have five different storage accounts set up right now. And then if I actually go to the CDN tab, you can actually see that I actually have, on three of those, I actually have defined CDN endpoints for those. So if I actually wanted to add a CDN endpoint, I would actually go hit new endpoint, and then determine here which ones I actually want to add, or what I want to be the origin. So if you have any hosted accounts, web roles, that actually show up here right now. You see that I had three CDN endpoints defined already, so I only have two storage accounts that don't have a CDN endpoint defined, and only those are showing up in your drop-down list. So if I added one for Jeremy Test, I hear the options that I had mentioned before, the enable CDN. This is actually just to turn it on. If I want to enable HTTPS, I'm sorry, SSL, I'd click that, and then if I want to include query strings in there, that's the checkbox for that. And that's it. So basically it's the initial hit and then a couple checkboxes, the initial click, then a few checkboxes, and then you hit create. So this is actually saying that it can take up to 60 minutes worldwide for DNS replication. It's usually a little quicker than that, but that's a fairly safe conservative estimate. And that's it. You've created a CDN provisioning. You can actually go down and select it, and then actually see the endpoint name that was defined. And As I had mentioned before, the actual CDN DNS name, you have a AZ and then a number.vo.msecnd.net. So this is what you can actually start delivering from with immediately after the DNS replication time goes through. And this is actually created up. You can tell here that it's query strings are not enabled in the protocols that you actually have. I had also mentioned earlier that I could actually say I want to actually add a DNS name to here, a branded or a DNS name that you guys would own. And all you do is hit add new domain and then actually type the domain name. And then hit create. And I had mentioned before that you have to actually verify that you own that. I don't quite understand this step, because if you're actually CNAming it to the CDN, you would have to own it. But basically, this is saying that you have to make this DNS entry to prove that you actually own that domain. And then once you actually do that, so that long item there in verifyazure.com. And then once that actually occurs, once you actually make that DNS change, all you have to do is hit validate, and then again, within about an hour, you can actually start delivering on that new host name. So again, that's only for HTTP, but that's actually the steps that are actually involved. So are there any? Yes. Like which ones? Yeah, we basically respect the HTTP headers. The primary ones for the CDN are the TTL, and if you actually set it public or private, which sort of custom TTL or what sort of custom headers are you? Yeah, we'll respect it and pass it along. You have to test it out and see if it gets you exactly what you need. But we will pass that along, and we respect all the all the HTTP headers. Yes. Yeah, we don't actually do anything with that at the time. Right now, we don't actually do anything with that header. Yeah, we don't actually do anything with that. Yeah. It has to be set public. If you set it private, it would go back to origin every time. So you could still deliver it through the CDN, but you actually would be penalizing yourself with performance, because everything would have to go back, and you'd actually wouldn't get any benefit out of it. But you could actually deliver something that was marked private. It would just go back to origin. It wouldn't cache it. Not at the time right now. We actually have internally for Microsoft properties, we actually have additional capabilities, and then we're actually working to expose more of those over time through the actual Azure Dev Portal. When we basically brought the CDN up, everything was kind of done by hand, and we've basically decided that we only will expose things when it's completely automated through the portal. So that's kind of where the source of our roadmap is coming from, and right now we don't have anything like that's actually exposed. If it's a hard requirement, I can actually take it back and find out if we have any plans for it, if you want. But at the moment, we don't. Are there any other questions or? That's all I have in terms of the presentation.